Wolves Cast, audio on demand.
Welcome into another episode of Wolves Cast Audio on Demand. John Pokey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Coming up on this episode, we'll check in with super sub Jamal Crawford. And with the Wolves facing off with the LA Clippers once again in Los Angeles this time, talk about Crawford's connection to the Clippers. Spent 5 years there. We'll hear from Doc Rivers on his thoughts on Jamal Crawford now in his 18th season out of the University of Michigan. We'll also hit the three in the key segment, top three storylines for this week in the NBA. But let's start by looking back at the week that was for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Cal, let's start with Monday night, Minnesota against the Memphis Grizzlies. Second end of a back-to-back for Minnesota, the Grizzlies riding an 11-game losing streak. And this one was sort of set up to break the way that it did. Minnesota coming off a grinded-out win over the LA Clippers on Sunday. Grizzlies desperate for a win, trying to snap that skid. They were back at home where they had dropped eight straight as well. Minnesota, unfortunately, just couldn't get off to the start that they wanted. Coach Tibbs saying afterwards that their defense really hurt them in the first half. And I agree with that, because we go back to games like the Indiana Pacers game, the Detroit Pistons game, you know, some of these losses here for Minnesota. And one of the things that stands out is the Wolves allow teams, and even that LA Clipper team, they allow teams to get off to a good start shooting the basketball. Those teams gain confidence. And I think that's what we saw out of Memphis, that they got some confidence early on. They were able to go at Minnesota. And then by the time the Wolves, you know, got back into it and started trying to lock in defensively in the second half, they were playing from behind, or there was, you know, swapping the lead back and forth. There were a number of ties and lead changes in that ballgame. And so Minnesota is a much better team when they play from ahead. And against a team like Memphis, against a team like we'll see tomorrow in the LA Clippers, that are struggling, that are missing guys, you've got to get on them, bump them off their rhythm, and get off to a good start and not allow them to get any confidence.
Austin Rivers said as much, too, after that. The Clippers lost that game on Sunday, but he had 30-plus, and he said, once my shot starts to drop, he said, any scorer will tell you this, but if you hit a few early, you get confidence, and then they all seem to go in, even the contested ones, and that's kind of what the Wolves dealt with. But looking at that loss in Memphis, like you said, the Grizzlies got off to a hot start, and then there were just some of the things that have been issues for the Wolves in previous losses kind of coming back to haunt them, whether it was, you know, down the stretch in the fourth quarter, issues plaguing them, a lot of fast break points for Memphis, and that transition defense for Minnesota again being an issue. So I'm sure frustrating for the team to again have to deal and sort of correct these issues, but it can't be surprising as well. It's been something they've been trying to get better at, get more consistent at so far this season.
Yeah, and Coach Tibbs has talked about, you know, fourth quarters being different, and we've heard that whether it was last year, so far this year. And one of the things he brought up, you know, offensively for Minnesota, they need some shots to fall in the fourth quarter. And the Wolves were 0 of 7 from beyond the arc in the fourth quarter, and they weren't getting much inside either. And when you talk about second end of a back-to-back where the guy's a little gassed, you know, whatever the situation was, in the fourth quarter, you've got to go to the rim harder. You've got to basically take everything up a notch. And unfortunately for the Wolves, they weren't able to do that. You mentioned that transition defense. Wolves had a big edge against the LA Clippers on Sunday, 13-2. Against Memphis on Monday, outscored 24-8. But the amazing thing is, Wolves only turned it over 9 times. That means Memphis was running off misses, you know, and especially in the second half, when you're missing threes, that's long rebounds. That allows Memphis to get out and run. They outshoot Minnesota 47-44%. And go on to get the win. Let's talk about Jimmy Butler for a moment. Back-to-back 30-point games. He basically willed Minnesota to victory on Sunday against the LA Clippers, scoring 20 of his season-high 33 in that fourth quarter. Picked up right where he left off with another 30-point game on Monday. And, you know, obviously the Wolves need everything that Jimmy Butler brings to the table. His leadership, his scoring, his defense, his rebounding, his playmaking, all those things. But how nice to know that in the fourth quarter you've got a guy that can take over a game like that. And what I liked about it, Cal, was that game against LA, you know, was an ugly kind of grinded out type game. And Jimmy said, all right, if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm just going to force the issue and get to the free throw line. And, you know, if nothing's coming easy, at least get yourself to the free throw line, get fouled, and give yourself an opportunity there. And I thought he was able to do that multiple different times and create some separation there for Minnesota on Sunday.
It's been so much fun to kind of see, because he was so good at getting others involved and kind of deferring to teammates, these basically this first month and change, I guess. But you kind of forget that he's one of the NBA's better scorers. He's an efficient scorer. He gets to the free throw line. He has such a complete skill set in terms of finishing in transition, getting to the hole. He's got that three-point shot. He is very comfortable in the mid-range as well, mm-hmm. if that three-point line is being guarded a little too tightly. So it's been fun to see that full sort of deck that Jimmy's working with. And yeah, it resulted in a win. He took over in Sunday's win and almost was able to do it against Memphis on Monday as well.
Yeah, he had a chance to tie the game with a shot there as the horn expired. Afterwards, head coach Tom Thibodeau kind of broke down that play. I know a lot of people look at it and say, well, it was just Butler dribbling, trying to make something happen. But Coach Tibbs explains afterwards that there was a lot going on in that play. Unfortunately for Minnesota, they were unable to capitalize. Here's Coach Tibbs.
Three options on the play, so it's, you know, and there's – I want to take a look at it. There's a lot of grabbing and holding going on. So, you know, you have three different looks for three different players. So there's a progression to the play.
All right, Cal, so hearing from Coach about that, it's funny that, you know, not knowing what's going on, not knowing what play was called and how everything was supposed to be executed, it's interesting afterwards to hear the coach say, hey, look, there were three different options on that. There were progressions through that. And obviously, you know, defense dictates kind of what happens. And he also mentioned, you know, Memphis getting physical out there, grabbing, holding, trying to disrupt the flow of that play. And, you know, unfortunately for Minnesota, it resulted in Butler having to take a contested three. But that's one of the things that as we sit here and watch the game, as fans watch the game, you only see part of it. And it's the coaching staff and it's the players who understand all the different layers to it. And so Coach Tibbs kind of explaining that. But, you know, it's so interesting to think on every play, there is not just one pick and roll. You know, it's one pick and roll to set up another pick and roll that is all predicated on certain timing and this guy cutting there and this guy cutting there. Then things are a lot more complicated than what we see on TV.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes it really tough, you know, if you're watching it on Fox Sports North and you only get that one angle, you mm-hmm. can't get the full picture of what the coaching staff is seeing and what the guy with the ball is seeing from his perspective. And it's tough to analyze and it's tough to second guess too. You know, we feel, you know, as fans and critics and analysts, whatever, we feel like it's so much of our jobs to kind of second guess and say, well, you should have done this. You could have went here. This was an option. But really in that game speed, and then also it kind of alludes to what Tibbs has said about the fourth quarter being different, where that defense is going to get a little more physical and sort of force the issue on the referees sometimes in those game-deciding scenarios. So it's something that it gives you a good sort of peek behind the curtain at what, you know, how bang-bang those situations are. And sometimes it's a game winner from just inside the half court, Andrew Wiggins and OKC, and other times you can't execute what you might want to, and the result is a loss.
Well, and to your point about them getting Memphis, that is, getting physical, we talked about it, you and I did, before that game, or before that play even was inbounded, that they could foul.
Sure.
Minnesota down by three, so you want to be physical in that situation. If you're the Grizzlies, obviously you don't want to foul a shooter,
yeah.
And they did that, but push the envelope as much as you can, because if you do put Minnesota on the line and you're still up three and they're only shooting two free throws, you're in a decent situation. So unfortunately for Minnesota, unable to pull that one out in clutch time. They're now 7-6 in clutch time. Got off to a great start in clutch time early on, but have struggled as of late. Now continue to alternate wins and losses. And so hopefully that means Minnesota will pick up a win on Wednesday in Los Angeles against the Clippers. A couple of quick notes here as we wrap up our first segment. Justin Patton headed to the G League. He joined the Iowa Wolves on Sunday. He'll start his rehab there, getting some practices in, getting some games. Head coach Tom Thibodeau called this his training camp, and I'm excited about this. I mean, Justin Patton is a guy that drafted, you know, excited about what he brought, and then injured the foot right away. And so we never saw him in summer league. We didn't see him in training camp. Seen him just, you know, at the end of practice kind of working on some things. But he's a big with a great skill set, a very versatile skill set. And watching some of the highlights from him at Creighton, he could be a fun piece to this team and add some depth to that front court. So no timetable for his return, but this is a great step in the right direction for Justin Patton.
Absolutely. And, you know, we kind of forget, because we haven't seen anything from him either out there with his teammates on the practice floor or obviously any game action. But yeah, he's got that fun skill set where he's one of those bigs. We've seen so many of these guys in the NBA really take the league by storm. That's not to say that once he's healthy, he's going to be that guy right away. But he's got the skill set. He can step back and hit the three. He's very athletic. He'll be great in transition, both offensive and defensively. So I'm excited. It's going to take time. I've got my expectations just sort of tempered, just in the sense that those foot injuries, especially for big guys, you want to make sure everything's right when you make your way back. But when he's right, it should be fun.
Well, not only that, but he brings such a great attitude too. I mean, have you seen him without a giant smile on his face, just loving being an NBA player? Speaking of foot injuries, Nemanja Bjelica missed a game again on Monday at Memphis with that foot injury. In fact, he was listed as inactive. He will join the team in Los Angeles for Wednesday's game against the Clippers. Speaking of guys assigned to the G League, kind of a big start to the season for the G League. We saw Tony Parker of San Antonio go down, do a rehab stint there, and now the Chicago Bulls have announced that Zach LaVine and Nikola Mirotic both headed to the Windy City Bulls. And so as teams, Cal, really link themselves up with their affiliated G League team, we're seeing them utilized not just as Minnesota was able to send Marcus George's Hunt down or bring Anthony Brown up, but also to get some veteran players a chance, you know, to kind of go through that rehab and regain game conditioning, game feel, game rhythm. And so I think that's a great step in continuing to foster relationships between the parent clubs and the G League clubs and, you know, give the G League kind of that feel that, you know, as the NHL has the AHL, as you know, Major League Baseball has minor league baseball and AAA, but utilize that and really use it as a tool, not just for development, but also for veteran players.
Absolutely. And the thing you hope, too, is that as these guys come back from injuries, whether it's a veteran like Tony Parker or a younger guy like Zach LaVine, you hope that they're more of themselves once they return to the mm-hmm. big leagues then, and they were able to do whatever they needed to, because we know how grueling an NBA schedule can be. And Tom Thibodeau has spoken about not having practice time, or if you do, it's sometimes a walkthrough in a ballroom. And maybe we hear less of minutes restrictions and minutes limits, and hopefully very little or none of guys re-injuring themselves when they return and trying to do too much too soon, because they got that time that they needed in the G League to get things figured out. And hopefully that's what that leads to, is guys coming back looking more like themselves right away.
Well, speaking of San Antonio, Kawhi Leonard is nearing his return. Who wants to be the G League guy who's got to go up against Kawhi Leonard, who's just itching to play and hasn't played since the playoffs of last year? You couldn't pay me enough for that.
Go try to score on him.
Yeah. We'll wrap up segment number one. News coming down yesterday that Lindsey Whalen, four-time WNBA champion, the all-time winningest player in WNBA history, will be joining Fox Sports North as a guest analyst. In fact, she'll be on the call Wednesday for that game at LA against the Clippers, and then she'll have seven other contests joining Jim Peterson and Dave Benz and also Tom Hanneman in the studio show, pregame, halftime, and postgame for some different segments. So excited about Lindsey Whalen joining Fox Sports North. She did one game, I believe it was last year, maybe 2 years ago. But, you know, this kind of continues a trend that we're seeing. And we just saw the Washington Wizards in town. Kara Lawson, former WNBA player and a champion with Sacramento, is now their full-time analyst. We've seen Sue Bird do some studio stuff. We've seen Candace Parker do studio stuff. And so, you know, as the WNBA continues to grow and you work harder and harder to keep these players, you know, obviously you want to allow them to go overseas, but you'd love to have them get an off season so that they come in healthy and geared up for the WNBA season. This is a great option for players to have the opportunity to make some money, stay connected to the game, while at the same time using that platform to promote the WNBA and continue the ties between the NBA and WNBA.
100% agree, and also it's going to be great for the fans, because mm-hmm. we just talked about how if you're a fan and you watch a game on TV, you're only going to see maybe 10 to 20% of a play. Lindsey Whalen's going to help, you know, she'll be there watching those games. She's going to be able to kind of illuminate things that she saw in a given play, or she was so good even in that one game with Jim Pete, both of them going back. Obviously, they have great chemistry when he was an assistant on that Link staff, and they can kind of diagnose defenses. They can see right away what kind of actions teams are kind of prioritizing. So it's going to be a very smart broadcast, I think. It already is with Dave Benz and Jim Pete when we get the chance to see it. But I think it'll be a real treat for those people who tune in as well.
And on the radio side, we're going to be lucky enough to bring in Rebecca Brunson to join us on the pregame show coming up on December 14th when the Wolves welcome in the Sacramento Kings, kind of crossing some ties there. Brunson, of course, started her career in Sacramento with the Monarchs, and one of her head coaches during that time, Jenny Busick, is now on the bench for Dave Yeager and the Sacramento Kings. So be sure to join us for the pregame show on December 14th starting at 6:30 as we welcome in the most winningest in terms of trophies, WNBA championships, player in league history, and that would be Rebecca Brunson now with 5 championships to her credit. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Still to come, we'll go 3 in the key. Top 3 storylines this week in the NBA, but coming up next, we shine the spotlight on Super Sub Jamal Crawford.
Wolves fans, give the gift of the Wolves this season with a Timberwolves Holiday Pack. Enjoy 5 great games against the Lakers, Cavs, Raptors, Rockets, and Bulls. Plus, get a free Timberwolves hat from New Era. There's no better gift to give yourself or someone on your gift list. Visit Timberwolves.com/holiday to purchase your pack today. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolvescast Audio On Demand rolls on. John Foki with you here. And coming up, Cal Soderquist will rejoin me. We'll take a look at the top 3 storylines this week in the NBA as we go 3 in the key. But with the Wolves getting set to face off against the LA Clippers again tomorrow, we thought it was a good time to take a look at that connection between Jamal Crawford and Lob City. Crawford spent 5 seasons in LA, 4 of them under current head coach Doc Rivers.
He was a great Clipper for us. He did so many great things for us on and off the floor. And I think Jamal is a great ambassador for basketball. I love him because he plays basketball. I keep going back to that. I love the fact that he does that all summers. You know, he just plays basketball. And so I just think he's one of those guys that, for at least the Clipper community, he was a very bright light.
And Doc says that love of the game and playing year-round is a big reason why Crawford's been able to play 18 years in the league at such a high level.
He's a throwback. I wish more guys did it. Yeah. I really do. I just think it's what you do. You know, you play basketball. And Jamal does that, and I think that's why he's so skilled. And I love when I see, like, when he was with us and I saw any of our young guys with him, especially, you know, someone went to visit him in the summers. You're like, that's good.
Well, let's explore that passion for the game, the decision to sign with Minnesota, and more as we check in with Wolves super sub Jamal Crawford.
18 years in the league.
Yes.
As you think back to Jamal Crawford, the rookie, to Jamal Crawford heading into his 18th season, I mean, can you even wrap your mind around that?
Not at all. So many journeys, so many steps, so many different things, you know, that go into it. And some things you just have to learn on your own. You know, you come in as a rookie, you don't know what to expect. Some things you know what to expect, but a lot of things you just trial and error, you know. So to go through it and get to this point, very, very proud.
Did you ever think at the beginning that you'd be here 18 years from now?
I didn't have like a limit. I never thought about that. I just wanted to always play. You know, like I didn't think it'd be 5 year, 10 year, 15 year. I didn't think about it. I just got lost in the game.
What's the key to coming back playing at a high level year after year like you have?
I think consistency is one of the keys to longevity. And I think, just like I said, staying in love with the game. I never got sidetracked. You know, and I play every day in the summer. I'm not the guy to take time off. I'm not the guy to say, okay, I want to shoot this movie. Not criticizing people that do. That just wasn't for me. And I think God's rewarded me with a long career.
What do you love about the game?
Everything. You never stop learning. I'll go to LA Fitness. I was there actually yesterday. But I'll go to LA Fitness or whatever and just watch people play. And I'll learn something just watching them. I may not even play that particular day, but I just learn something. And it's just, you never truly master it. You know, and it's just, it's an amazing thing.
18 years in the league, is there a scouting report on Jamal Crawford?
There probably is, but sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to do, so it's pretty tough to scout.
Is that kind of the beauty of the game?
Yeah,
that,
definitely.
That you don't know what you're going to do
sometimes.
Yeah,
so there's no way that they can know, you know, and just, I'm more of a, if I was a boxer, I'd be a counterpuncher. I'm more reacting to what people are doing, so.
Well, what was behind the decision to sign with Minnesota this offseason?
I just didn't want to go to... Obviously, I didn't want to go to a bad team. And I didn't want to go to a team that was already made. I mean, if I go to Golden State or Cleveland, and those are the last two teams that win championships, it's like, okay, well, what's next? You know, I guess I'm still enjoying the chase and the thrill of it. And I want to go through it with a group that hasn't been there as well, so we can go through these journeys together.
you know, and I think that's really cool.
The importance of building something, does that kind of resonate with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and just not somewhere you're, you know, that for a year and then you're gone. Like, you want to be part of something and build something and hopefully find a home.
Great stuff right there from Jamal Crawford here on Wolves Cast Audio On Demand. When we come back, Cal Soderquist rejoins me. We'll go three in the key. That's next right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Gather the crew and enjoy some fun this season at Target Center with a friends and family four-pack. Get four discounted tickets plus access to shoot a free throw on the court after the game. To purchase your four-pack, visit Timberwolves.com/four-pack. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolves Cast Audio On Demand continues. John Fokey, Cal Soderquist. Time to go three in the key as we take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. Cal, let's start with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They get Derrick Rose back on Monday after he left the team for personal reasons, still rehabbing that injured ankle. And with him or without him, Cleveland seems to have found their stride. They've now won 12 straight games, coming off the win last night against the Chicago Bulls. And obviously, LeBron James has been playing at an incredibly high level. He's the best player in terms of fourth quarter production this season so far. But Kevin Love seems to have found his groove as well. Love's been playing at a high level. And, you know, as Kyrie Irving has moved on, as Cleveland has been trying to really, you know, put things together, I think that LeBron and Kevin Love seem to have found a good rhythm. And Love, 24 points, 13 rebounds against Chicago. It was his fourth straight 20-point game. He had 38-9 four games back, so just about four straight 20-10 games.
They seem to be clicking, so these guys, whether it's Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, they can take their time because the Cavs have found something that's working here during this win streak. Dwayne Wade coming off the bench, I think he had 20-plus in that win over Chicago. So it's good for Cleveland. We never were worried that they were going to all of a sudden drop out of the top four in the East or anything like that. But it's important, and LeBron will be the first to say that they want to have some habits established right away as soon as they can, because I think once you get a guy like Isaiah Thomas, maybe even more than D. Rose, when you get him and try to acclimate him to this lineup, that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period as well. But guys are playing well, and you know, we'll see if they can try to chase that. Maybe it's Boston is going to have their streak. Now it's Cleveland's turn. Maybe when John Wall's back healthy, Washington's going to take a run at it a little bit later on. Everyone can just keep trading places in the East.
Well, one of the reasons why I put this topic on and wanted to talk about it is, as you look at what Boston was able to do, right, 16 straight wins, I'm wondering if LeBron looks at that and says, hey, let's one-up them. Let's get one more than Kyrie. And looking at their schedule coming up, they've got Sacramento. Certainly you've got the edge there to Cleveland. Indiana, a team that has struggled a little bit lately, although still playing at a high level. Philadelphia, Atlanta's struggled. Los Angeles has struggled. And Utah's kind of been up and down. And then you've got the Washington Wizards. And, you know, who knows if John Wall's back at that time or not. But certainly when you look on paper, Cleveland would have the edge in most of those games. So maybe they do come out and top the Boston Celtics. But do you think that's in LeBron's mind, that he wants to one-up Kyrie?
I want it to be in his mind, because now I've got the schedule pulled up, and here's what I see: Christmas Day at Golden State. So let's keep it. I think it would be 21 or 22 straight entering that matchup. So come on, give us a little bit extra for Christmas. That's already a gift of a matchup, but how about that? LeBron and the Cavs riding 20-plus into the Bay Area. That would be pretty fun. But you're right. I think LeBron thinks that way at times. Mm-hmm. I think he definitely sees those headlines and, you know, sees the if the headline is, oh, is the East now Boston's instead of Cleveland? So who knows? Who knows if that's what's most important on the top of his priorities right now, because they're playing well, so I'm sure he wants to keep it rolling.
Well, I'm sure it's not top of his priorities, but fun to think about, and certainly interesting to see if they could keep it going, what that matchup with Golden State would look like, but a long way to go until that. Rudy Gobert back for the Utah Jazz. They've been playing well without him, and a big reason why is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell stepping in as a rookie, goes off for 40s, the first rookie to do so since Blake Griffin did it back in his rookie season. And they're playing well. They've been getting big performances out of him. And suddenly, Cal, a team that I thought was going to be on the outside looking in terms of the playoff picture is right there, you know, in the playoff conversation. And as they get Gobert back, maybe that boosts them and they end up in one of those five, six, even four spots. They've certainly got the experience of being a playoff team like they were a season ago, and Donovan Mitchell has stepped in and kind of played that role of Gordon Hayward so far.
And he's kind of been that guy, you know, he comes in from college right away and is a scorer at the NBA level, and that's been impressive. And it's been fun to watch he and Ricky Rubio play off one another a little bit. Obviously, Ricky more of a pass-first guard. So, yeah, anytime you're a rookie, you come in and can score 40, that's impressive. And to get Gobert back, he's just going to mean so much to their defense. So, yeah, you and I both talked about how they kind of looked like a team that would be the team to fall out of that playoff picture, but they're proving us wrong. And, you know, Quinn Snyder has something there that team really buys into, that deliberate style that they want to play. It's pretty unique to them, and it really suits, obviously, guys like Gobert and Derek Favors. So if everyone's buying in and on the page like they are now, I think it's six straight. Who knows how long they keep that going.
Well, and they continue to win with their defense. In the Western Conference, there's only one team that allows fewer points than the Utah Jazz. That's San Antonio. They give up 97 per game, and Utah gives up 98.7. So as they continue to get offensive performances from guys like Donovan Mitchell, they still rely on their defense to win games. We'll wrap up our Three in the Key segment with this. We've talked so much about who gets into the postseason, who ends up the top seed, and so on. How about the race to the bottom? Who ends up with the worst record in the league this season? You look at teams that are struggling in the Eastern Conference. It's the Bulls, just three wins to their credit. They've dropped nine straight now. Atlanta has struggled so far this season. They're 5-18. And then in the Western Conference, Memphis 8-15, just snapped an 11-game losing streak. Sacramento 7-16. And Dallas has actually played better of late. They've won back-to-back games, but sitting at 7-17 on the season. So of those teams, the race to the bottom, and I guess you could throw Brooklyn in there at 9-14, but they seem to be trending in the right direction, even though they're dealing with some injury situations themselves. Who ends up with the worst record in the league this season?
This is a tough one for me. So Chicago has the head start if you're looking at records, and I think they're going to have their eyes on obviously something other than necessarily winning games. They're going to want to develop some of their guys, even some former Timberwolves and Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. But I think the Grizzlies are going to have some issues, and they've got some veterans where it's not going to make a ton of sense to continue feeding them heavy minutes, especially when you've already undergone a coaching change and you're going to want to see what you have in young players like Dylan Brooks, like we saw last night, and plenty of guys on that roster where it's just going to make sense to get them more minutes. And in the Western Conference too, conceivably when more teams get healthy, we're going to get Kawhi Leonard back. We're going to have plenty of teams in the West that are jockeying for position. And I think it's going to be pretty cutthroat in the second half of the season. And Memphis may be a team that is the opposite of benefiting from that, I guess.
I'm with you in that I really put the edge on Chicago because they're not going to want to rush Zach LaVine back. And obviously they've dealt with the injury to Mirotic, and you know they're developing Chris Dunn. They're developing those guys as they try to move into this new era of Bulls basketball. Dwayne Wade is gone. Jimmy Butler is gone. And so they're trying to work towards a new identity. And I think, you know, in that regard, it comes along with developing guys and looking towards the future. Meanwhile, I think it's interesting. I think your point about Memphis is interesting, but I feel that same way about the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
In that they've got a lot of veteran guys, and as you sort of look towards the future, you know, it's Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be one of your main guys moving forward. Harrison Barnes is going to be one of your main guys. And so as you try to balance that development with, you know, not disrespecting some of the veterans like Dirk and J.J. Barea on that team that have meant so much to that franchise, you know, you're kind of in a transition mode here as to developing, looking towards the future while still making sure that those guys feel connected and feel that you're playing competitively. And so I just think Chicago, with where they're at, not having the veteran guys with the connection to the team that maybe Memphis does, that maybe Dallas does, that they're looking more towards that development stage. And as you said, wins aren't necessarily the highest priority so much as looking towards the future and making sure that when you get Zach back, when you get Mirotic back and healthy, that, you know, everybody has gotten better during this stretch. So I'm going to take Chicago. You take Memphis. you really hope that nobody ends up with the worst record in the league. You want everybody to be competitive. But I think you make a great point about the Western Conference and just how stacked it is, where, you know, you lose, you go on an 11-game losing streak, and luckily the Memphis Grizzlies really haven't put themselves that far out of it. I mean, obviously they've got a bunch of teams to jump, but they sit just 3.5 games back of that eighth and final playoff spot, despite the fact that they did lose 11 straight. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Wolvescast Audio on Demand. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Fokey. Don't forget, check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, and of course SoundCloud and Timberwolves.com. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.